America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio.
In a world where jobs are how most people make money, one man, one desire, one challenge, dares to break the mold. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where we don't work for money. Money works for us. Coming soon, viewer discretion advised.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manassero.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network. I'm your host, Bill Manassero, and this is the show where 50-plussers and anyone else who wants to join us get solid, no-sales-pitch real estate investing advice to help generate real cash flow. This podcast airs twice weekly on Mondays and Fridays, and if you aren't already a subscriber, go to iTunes, type in Old Dog, spelled D-A-W-G, find our podcast, and subscribe. Well, today we've got a great show. We've got a gentleman from a state that I really love, not just because it's a great place to invest in real estate, but also it's probably one of the most beautiful states in the union. He is going to talk about brokering and investing in that region of the world, and we're talking about Tennessee. His name is Dave Childers, and he is a managing broker of Residential Investment Advisors and has over 12 years of experience in real estate investing in Middle Tennessee. He was 25 years old the first time he partnered and purchased his first rental property. And at 27, he formed another partnership and secured University Lofts, a 114-unit property in Murfreesboro, I'm not sure I got that right, but Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which allowed him to learn the business in all aspects. 6 years ago, David saw the need for a brokerage firm that focused on small multifamily properties and investors. And since then, David has built Residential Investment Advisors into a successful commercial brokerage firm. David has brokered over 200 smaller multifamily properties in Middle Tennessee and Northern Alabama. The past 2 years, David has continued to grow his personal portfolio by acquiring District 14 flats, a 14-unit complex in downtown Nashville, Tennessee, and has more than doubled its value in 18 months. Another, Lawrence Landing, a 56-unit in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and his most recent purchase was Hilburn Apartments, a 86-unit complex located in Pensacola, Florida. Well, David, welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, excellent. Like I told you a few minutes ago, it's a beautiful spring day here in Nashville, so I can't complain.
That's a beautiful part of the country. I absolutely love Nashville. And also a great place, I think, to definitely invest in multifamily. So hopefully you'll give us some tips here about where we can find those great deals in Nashville. But
well, they're becoming very, very hard to find here in Middle Tennessee, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you can turn us on to some interesting secondary, maybe tertiary markets around there. And we'll see how much you'll disclose in the course of this interview. I don't want to steal any of your deals away, of course, but Dave, we're really interested. You're a young guy. You started very young, first property, 25, man. I'd just like to hear your story about how you got into real estate investing.
Yeah, I was in school up at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina, and decided to drop out and move to Music City and follow my dream of being on the road with bands and in the Christian music industry. And so my wife and I moved here in 2003 and started doing that. And you had said you had traveled on the road after a few years of doing it. It got pretty old. But in the meantime, there's a really cool story. I flew out to California with the band I was working for, and we did a show. And it was in Northern Cal, Brentwood, Northern California. And this gentleman picked us up from the airport and took us back to his church. And in the car ride, we started talking, and he said, hey, anybody wants to go out on the boat with me tomorrow? I'll have time to take the band guys out if you want to go. And I took him up on the offer. He came and picked me up the next morning from the hotel. And he got there, and he was in a beautiful truck. His hands were all muddy, and I was like, what are you doing, man? It's like 8 in the morning. He said, I had to go over to one of my rental properties and fix a water line or something. So, we pull up to his house, and this guy lives on the waterway. If you're from Northern California, you'll know the California Delta, the Sacramento River. And, took us, he and I, his son and I went out wakeboarding, and we just started talking. And I finally just said to him, how does a youth pastor live in a house like this and have, nice wakeboarding boat? And he said, I have my own company. I've got a couple hundred employees, and I volunteer my time at the church, 3 days a week. And from then we just became instant friends. And he said, I was talking about real estate here in Nashville. This is back, like I said, in 04, 05. And he said, well, if you ever want to borrow hard money from me, give me a call and I'll lend you hard money. And I'd only known this guy for a couple hours at that time. And so I kind of kept in contact with him. And finally, when I was 25, I found a duplex here in Nashville. And I called him. I said, hey, do you want to buy this property? I was trying to just wholesale it to him and make a little bit of money. He said, you know what? Instead of, me just buying it and being a landlord from 2,500 miles away, why don't we just buy it together? You manage it, and I'll give you, a portion of the equity or the ownership. And that was kind of where all this started. And it's kind of grown from there. He and I are still, I consider him like a big brother, mentor, friend, and we're still business partners today. So that's kind of how this all started. I really did not ever get into it with the intentions of being a landlord or owning rental property or anything. I wanted to buy, flip, sell, and actually we were featured on TLC's Flip That House, I think it was called, back in 06. We had a 30-minute episode. That's really where I wanted to take real estate thing. And I think it just discovered that I'm pretty good at being a landlord and taking care of tenants, and it's kind of just grown from there.
Wow. And what was that first property that you purchased?
Yeah, it was a two unit property. It was I believe we paid $110,000-$115,000 for it. Two bedroom, one bath, townhome style units. They rent for $650 a month each side. So
that's great. That's great.
And we still own it.
Oh really? Wow. And that was this right before the major crash in 2007.
Yeah, this is before the crash. I got into it. We had done pretty well making money, and then everything collapsed. And that's kind of part of the story is, I had this is the next part of evolution of my learning, and kind of I learned from the inside out of doing this, from actually being, we bought the 114 unit complex we purchased, and we actually converted them to condos because they are in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is home to Middle Tennessee State University, which is roughly 30,000 students. And this apartment complex is almost across the street. And so our plan was to do a condo conversion and sell them off to parents. And we did that conversion in 07 and maybe 08. I forget the exact year, but whatever year it was that summer when everything crashed. And we were sitting there with, I had kicked half the tenants out so that we could renovate and sell these units. And, you know, everything crashed. I had an 8% occupancy in a college town. There was no financing for condos at that time. I don't know if you were in it, but there was, you know, you couldn't get financed on any condos, and mostly a conversion similar to that. So we actually went back to the attorney, went back to the city, and literally undid the legal part of the condo conversion and made it back into an apartment building, apartment complex. And that's kind of when the work began, because I had no experience at this time of running an apartment building, nothing. And I had to learn how to, you know, lease apartments and get maintenance, and, you know, had a zero budget essentially to do any of this stuff. So a lot of it, I ended up doing cleaning carpets, painting, managing, you know, networking, marketing for the property. So it's been an interesting ride, to say the least.
Wow, what a story. I've never heard of anybody going back and converting a condo you just converted back into an apartment. I mean, that's got to be an amazing task in itself, I would imagine. Wow.
Yeah, the biggest concern for me was the tax assessment. You know, as condos, they were going to be appraised for probably, you know, three times what the total apartment building would have been appraised for. And so I just saw our, you know, $60,000 or $80,000 tax bill, you know, tripling. And then we both kind of, Jim and I, got on the same page of, you know, let's just, you know, let's hold this, you know, let's try to, hold it long term for our children's children type property. So our whole mentality went from buy, fix up, flip, you know, walk away with a bunch of money, to, you know, kind of long term wealth building.
And you still have the property today?
We do. And it's,
how's it doing?
100% occupied. You know, rents have gone up, you know, probably 20%. I actually gave it over to a management company locally there. And it's one of those, for me now, it's a, you know, total, a hands-off thing. I was just telling somebody I might go down there once every 3 months and talk to the manager, but, you know, the management company that's taking care of it does an excellent job. So I can't, you know, tell them how good of a job they're doing enough.
Now, was your buddy able to help you at all with, you know, cash, you know, being a hard money lender during those difficult times, or was, you know, he hit pretty hard too?
Yeah, he was hit pretty hard just because he was in the construction business in California. And so, I mean, it was a rough patch for, I think, everybody. It wasn't easy to get through those times. And so, yeah, and he's always kind of been the money man, I guess, if you want to call him that. And I've always kind of been the boots on the ground part of the relationship.
Right. So where did you go from there? I mean, now did you purchase during that lull period where most people have said, I wish I did, you know, during the 2008, 2009 years, were you acquiring at that time, or mainly just kind of trying to salvage what you had?
Not acquiring, but I was seeing deals, and that's what was frustrating about it, is because I knew they were good deals and there was a lot of cash flow. And so I kind of scratched my head and said, you know, how can I kind of capitalize on what I know and other people out? And that's kind of where my brokerage firm started. And so back to Residential Investment Advisors, my brokerage firm here in Nashville, you know, we specialize in selling anything from 2 to 50 units, give or take. And it's just kind of a unserviced group of investors, I think. You know, it's kind of a hybrid between a residential agent and a commercial agent. And so during that time, you know, I was seeing all these deals here in Nashville, and I wanted to, you know, even if I couldn't buy them, I wanted to somehow make money on them. So I found clients that wanted to buy those. So, I mean, you know, we were going to town. I mean, I think I brokered 60, you know, properties in 1 year alone. Of multifamily, just duplexes. And it was enjoyable. It was good because I had a couple good, solid clients that were pretty much gobbling up everything that they could find.
Wow. I'm sure those properties became worth quite a bit in more recent years, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we laugh about it now because, you know, for instance, there was a duplex, and I think they were asking $67,000 for it. And I, we'll offer 50, we'll offer 35. And I found this one gentleman, and he saw what I was seeing. We had the same glasses on. And, you know, now that property that he paid 67 for is worth 250, 300.
Right.
And this is in a, you know, and he's getting $1,100 in rent on each side. So $2,300 in rent on a duplex that, you know, he might have 90,000 in after renovations.
Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Is
it is
Nashville still booming? I mean, still a lot of people coming in.
Yeah, it's, you know, and we just see it on our rentals that we own. I mean, every time a vacancy comes up, you know, the rent rates are going up. The vacancy levels are, you know, zero pretty much. I think Nashville was about a 3% vacancy rate last year around the whole city. There's a lot of new construction being built down in the inner core. But that's, it's kind of back to what I focus on. I don't do that. I do Class C, you know, workforce housing. So I don't really think that there's going to be a big effect on what I do, you know, for the, you know, for the Class A's, all this new construction being built.
Right. Now, looking at your time in real estate now, how many years have you been in, you started in, 2006 or
six, five. So, you know, 12 years, 11 years, something in there. So
what would you say was sort of your biggest mistake, in, as an investor?
Probably not having confidence. I knew what I was doing, or go in that downturn, buy more. You know, I don't think I had the confidence that I needed to go out and raise the capital and buy all those deals I was selling. And I think if I could have gotten my hands on a handful of them, I'd be living in Florida on a beach right now.
Yeah, that a lot of us could be down there. You know, it was one of those times when everybody was hurting. So it was kind of hard to, you know, money was hard to come by, period. So it wasn't that easy.
That's a great intro to what I wanted to say is, you know, I have a lot of people right now, they're saying, well, I'm just going to wait till the next crash. I'm holding on to my capital. And I'm like, if you didn't live through the last crash, you would have had to have 100% of the capital to buy some of these properties, because, you know, Bill, I don't know what you were doing at that time, but, you know, banks weren't lending to people, you know? So even if you had 70% to put down on some of these great deals, you weren't buying them. And the credit markets has dried up. You know, there was tons of deals, but there was just no capital for clients. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of telling people, you know, be careful. Don't be stupid right now. The availability of funds is going to be there like it is now.
Right. And conversely, what would you say sort of your biggest success has been to date?
From a business standpoint, I mean, one property that just pushed me over the top that kind of was the biggest deal I've done is that little 14 I bought. I purchased it downtown Nashville before the complete recovery had happened. And and to let your listeners in, I purchased that property for $235,000 for 14 units, and, you know, appraised, you know, a year and a half ago for over $1 million. So that's probably been my greatest one success. I've got a bucket full of successes, you know, and I can pinpoint a lot of them, but that would just be the one that I would name first.
Right. That's neat. Now, you've also done some creative things during those tougher or leaner years, especially with that 114, in terms of marketing and trying to get, you know, acquire tenants and keep tenants. I don't know if you could share any of that. I think that'd be real interesting for our listeners.
Yeah. At that time, you know, Craigslist was kind of still new to people. And so that was the, you know, one thing that we used over and over and over and over, Craigslist. We had ads, you know, a couple ads each day running. You know, back to the basics, I tell people the balloons and a friendly face at a desk welcoming people, balloons out by the street. What else did we do at that time? Went over to, you know, the university and handed out breakfast biscuits with stickers on them, and, you know, put flyers on cars, and laundromats with little pull-down tabs with our phone number on them. Got creative with rent incentives. Allowed people to prorate a rent incentive to bring their rate down. Tried to keep tenants. You know, that was something I learned during that time was, you know, if you can retain a tenant, it was that much cheaper versus finding a new tenant. And I kind of take the Dave Ramsey approach. And, you know, when he says you eat an elephant one bite at a time, and we just, you know, I just kept saying one apartment at a time. So let's take the easiest one to turn and get it filled and work our way on to, you know, the next one. So those were some of the things that we did to get that property full. I looked at, you know, I had ads running in all the expensive magazines, and I wasn't getting the results for what I was paying. And so I did lease up incentives or referral fees for tenants instead of, spending the money on these big fancy apartment.com type ads. We were, you know, just giving that money back to the tenants because we knew it would help.
Wow. Yeah, that's you have to be creative at times like that. And it sounds like you guys did a good job. I mean, it's 100% booked now. So I'm sure you went through your season there. But, I think being creative and kind of going outside of the box there is something I think pays off if you're persistent and you're testing your market and you're seeing what's working and what's not. That's great. Now, looking at, our audience here, we're mostly, you know, folks that are, you know, 50 plus in age. There are people here some that are on fixed income, others that are doing quite well, are passive real estate investors and others that are just getting in. What advice would you give to folks in that camp that they've got their nest egg and they're really holding it tight because they don't want something to happen like happened in 2007 and 2008? What kind of advice would you give to somebody like that wants to get involved in real estate?
There's a lot of options. You know, the Florida property, we just did a private equity raise on that property and purchased that one. So, you know, there's opportunities like that for somebody that, you know, says, hey, I don't want to mess with toilets and managers and, you know, everything is to get involved with a syndication. I put together on that property and completely hands off. So there's opportunities like that. And then, you know, for us, you know, our bread and butter on the brokerage side is we sell a lot of $150,000, $200,000 duplexes. You don't have to go big. You know, I think everybody thinks apartments, they think, you know, multi-million dollar apartment complexes. And, you know, it's funny because your audience, I always kind of preach to the millennial crowd, right? And I'm telling them, hey, you know, buy your first property when you're young and put on a 20-year amortization. And, you know, by the time you're in your mid 40s, 50s, it will pay off or be paid for. And so they have time, on their side to pay down debt and have tenants pay down debt, where I think your audience here is maybe on the backside of that, you know? But there's still, this was one thing that got me into real estate is I had a lot of gentlemen, mentors who were the age you just described, and they had gotten into real estate as a secondary thing after maybe a career in some other field and moved into it. And I saw them make tons of money in real estate as a secondary career. And I said, well, why would I do that second? I'm going to do that first, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'd say just get out there, learn, get into clubs. I mean, there's young, ambitious people like I was that will go out there and do the hard work, and they might not have the money. But they have the time, and you might have the money, but you don't have the time. And so I think there's a lot of opportunities for people like that.
That's great. Great advice. Yeah, I think starting off with maybe a small multi and learning a little bit how that works. And if you feel comfortable, you know, adding on more. And I fully advocate that. I think that's a good approach. One thing I kind of noticed,
and that's what our brokerage firm, I mean, we really started it that way, was I had so many guys that have heard the horror stories about owning rental property, but they really they were hearing them from people who had been bad landlords, I tell them. So I've had people come to me that make $1 million a year and are scared to buy a $150,000 duplex. And what I've tried to create with the brokerage firm and what I do is bring them in, help them hold their hand, you know, make sure that they feel comfortable with this decision. And then it's funny to see them, they buy one and they get a little looser about, they buy the next one, they buy the next one. And now they have 20 units, 15 units, and they're going, you know, let's sell and buy something bigger. And so there is that fear in the first purchase. You know, you buy that one, and even if it's a little $50,000-$60,000 single family house, and you start to say, oh, this isn't as bad, you know, as all the horror stories I heard.
You certainly can't lose out in a market like, you know, where you guys are located, because the demand is so strong for rentals. So yeah, that's neat. Do you guys also help your customers with financing too? You have relationships with local banks and so forth?
Yeah, we have a handful of local banks, and I was just in Memphis with Pinnacle Bank. They just did a summit on the, I don't know if you're familiar with, there's a new program through Freddie Mac called the SBL loan. It's the small balance multifamily loan, and it's for $1 million to $6 million multifamily purchases. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm out there, you know, doing as my job now, is just networking with more and more people in the industry. And so, yeah, we have local banks that are lending on those $200,000 duplexes. And then we have, you know, larger institutions lending on the larger stuff.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, that's sounds like a neat program, especially for what you guys are doing. That's great. I'm just also curious too, because it sounds like you aren't like a lot of folks out there that are still buying, you know, with a 3 to 5 year hold. They're, you know, turning them around. It sounds like you're buying for the long run. Is that the case with your own personal portfolio?
Yeah, I tell people I'm my own worst enemy, because I don't want to ever sell anything. I was just talking to Robert Helms with the real estate guys, mm-hmm. and got to spend 30 minutes with him. And, you know, he said, I'm a collector of doors. And I said, man, that's what I am. You know, I don't want to sell anything. I've had to sell some things off that, you know, maybe a partner wants to cash out. But I mean, my philosophy is to build that long-term cash flow and pay down debt, you know, so that I can, you know, I used to tell people my retirement, my units that I own, those aren't my daily income stream. I've got a job for that. These are my investments. These are my long-term, you know, retirement planning.
Do you generally pour back the cash flow into the properties to pay them off, or how do you handle it? Are you trying to, you know, pay the loans down?
Yeah, you know, for some of them, you can't pay them down. You have prepayment penalties, and you're not allowed to pay on interest, you know, or more towards principal for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of that cash is just going back into accounts and, you know, looking for the next deal. Some it's being, you know, put back into a property to you know, do renovations to achieve a higher rent. So it just depends. I don't think a perfect strategy. It's kind of, you know, out of our 6 or 8 different entities that own and have, you know, units in them, they're all different, I would say.
So, right. Now, looking at your business, what sort of your long-term goal? Where do you see yourself in 10, 20 years down the road?
The last year, I've been spending a lot of time to stop working in my business, but work on my business. And so we've actually sold off some of the smaller properties that were consuming quite a bit of my time. I hired a full-time agent to come sell with me. And then we actually recently partnered up with a young lady who owns a property management company here in the Middle Tennessee area. And so, you know, I'm pouring more of my time into each of them to see them grow, you know, the different facets of the business. And then, you know, the first time I went out and, you know, raised private equity to buy this property in Florida last spring, you know, it was the first time I really went out there and, you know, acquired money from, you know, more than one or two other people to purchase a property. And so I'm really focusing my time on that right now, you know, finding deals, analyzing deals and growing, you know, the partnerships to be able to acquire larger you know, assets.
Great. Just out of curiosity, too, I have properties in Memphis, and we're looking in Nashville and surrounding areas. And tell us something to get excited about Tennessee.
Job growth, no income tax. It's very landlord friendly. Those are the things that I hear over and over and over every day in our business journals. And it's not just Nashville. It's all of Middle Tennessee, Chattanooga, Knoxville. You just hear of employers. We just got an announcement that LG is bringing, or building one of their largest production facilities in Clarksville, Tennessee, which is just northwest of Nashville, 20 miles. So, you know, that gets me excited about going there and actually, you know, looking for more property. But in Lawrenceburg, where I have a property, it's about an hour and a half south of Nashville, almost into Alabama. It's the same thing. You go down there and there's just, you know, I meet with people who own temp agencies, and they're saying, you know, we've got more jobs than we have employees right now. Or, you know, we've got more jobs than we can fill. So that's what gets me excited is when you start seeing job growth. And that's probably one of the first things I look for when I go to an area is, you know, where does everybody work in a town that's come up in recent conversations is Mobile, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a lot of job growth there. Pensacola, we found out after we were under contract that I think it's Navy Federal is moving their whole operation from San Diego, you know, slowly into Pensacola.
I hear Huntsville is pretty hot too right now.
Yeah, Huntsville. I'd just say in general, the Southeast is kind of where, you know, if you look at I was just at a Marcus and Millchap conference about multifamily, and, you know, they were just showing graphs of all the people moving from, you know, the Northeast down into the Southeast and the demographics and the age of people. It's interesting, and it's kind of dorky at the same time to look at graphs, but I guess you really have to understand that stuff to see, you know, on a macro sense what's happening.
Oh yeah, you got to know the markets you're investing in. I'm a firm believer of that. You know, we're in a business where you got to read, you got to dig, and I think some of the best places to get your information are these large brokerage firms that you know, have these expensive research budgets, and you know, sometimes all you have to do is get a hold of a couple of OMs, and you get a chance to see what's going on in that particular market. It's pretty exciting stuff.
And that's what people ask me all the time. Like, what do you do with your days? I'm like, I those operating or offering memorandums, I read a couple of those a week, you know, just dive into them, and you can learn so much about, you know, the operational costs of a complex and just talking to the right people. And like you said, like, I'm a broker, but I'm also a client of Marcus and Millchap. I've bought properties from their agents, and, you know, they have a couple of economists that work for them full time, and that's all they do. You know, they're in Washington, you know, talking with legislation, you know, about, you know, different issues. So you can really get a lot of information from those people.
Yeah, that's great. Well, our time's just like zipping by here, Dave. It's just a shame because there's so many things I would like to talk with you about. We're at the point where we have what we call the wrap it up session, sort of the tail end of our interviews here, where I ask you a series of sort of quick questions, give me quick answers, and helps bring out resources that you use that our listeners can benefit from. And so if you're ready, I'll just go ahead and ask you these questions. Are you ready for it?
I am.
Favorite real estate book?
I don't know if it's a real estate book, but Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It was a life changer for me.
Yeah, for a lot of us, that's for sure. I think it goes in both categories.
Okay,
yeah, good. Yeah, good one. What about a more general business book?
Oh man, you know, I have the Audible account, and I think I've got about 15 different books in there. But, you know, Good to Great's one that comes to mind.
Yes, great, great book.
I'm listening to The E Myth right now. Crush It. So there's quite a bit. I'm looking at my account right now. I've got a lot of books in there that are on hold. I need to spend more time listening and reading.
So. Sure. What would you say is your most valuable website for success, other than your own? Of course, yours is the obvious way.
Well, my website needs an overhaul. This is going to sound crazy, but I spend a lot of time on social media, and I don't know, I guess you can call that website, but I get so much, you know, I read a lot of articles and stuff from different Bigger Pockets is one I go to, and you know, so many people are using social media now for business. So I'd say, you know, that's I use social media. I don't think Craigslist. I'm always skimming Craigslist for deals on real estate and our local MLS. You know, I've learned that it's such a people business. I can't just go. I got to talk to people.
Right. Do you have like a favorite app on your phone that you use a lot?
Probably the Carl's Mortgage app with the amortization and everything to try to figure out what my debt service would be. Carl with a K, mortgage calculator.
That's I use that great. One quite a bit. I didn't know that they had an app like that. That's great. That's excellent.
Yeah, cool. Carl's Mortgage, and you can see tables and graphs and see why you want to put stuff on a 20-year AM and not a 30. And so it's pretty fun to play around
with. I'm good. I'm going to get that. That's great. How about a favorite quote?
Do unto others as you want done to you. The golden rules. You know, we treat our clients, our the people buying and selling with us, with respect. And I also, it goes back to the tenants. You know, a lot of landlords get pretty cutthroat with their tenants. And we just, you know, I tell people, if you treat your tenants good, they'll take good care of you. And so we've tried to always operate it. We're probably probably miss things, but, you know, we really want to take good care of our tenant.
I'm with you on that one. I like that. How about this one? This is kind of a hypothetical question. Let's say, suppose something just devastating happened. You lost everything except $1,000 in cash. What would you do with that $1,000 to rebuild your real estate enterprise?
Oh, man. You know, I started with nothing. You know, when I went back to the story, you know, I was making $1,300 a month when I started doing this. So, you know, before my previous employer. So, I mean, my wife and I moved to Nashville with nothing. And so, I think you could do a lot, but you just have to, I'd have to be in that, you know, figure out which way's up and then do something.
Well, you know, if I take you back to your story, you know, and a comment you made, I think I think you've kind of already answered the question, but, you look at relationships, right? I mean, that's what happened with you, right? You connected with this guy in California, and through that connection, it opened you up to this whole world. Relationships are an important part of you and just your story here. You know, it's almost like you don't even need to spend $1,000 unless you're going to buy him coffee or lunch.
That's exactly what I was going to say: is buy that guy a gift or take him out to dinner. You know, you'd be. I'm still surprised that there's not more people that, you know, come to me and want to go, hey, let me take you out to dinner or lunch because I want to pick your brain. I want to know, you know, what you're doing, because that's what I've done. You know, I find the most successful guy in the room. I was part of a CEO group called C12 for a year and a half. And yeah, I was the little guy in the room in the business aspect. And man, but those guys just poured into me. And I mean, some of them were selling businesses for $50, $60 million. And if I was open ears, they were willing to teach me and guide me. And I had to spend money to be in the club. But I mean, those guys, people who are successful want to train the next generation. And they see themselves maybe in a younger person sometimes. And they're willing to give their time and effort. So there's the guys, the California guys I talked to originally, they said, Dave, we taught you something and then you actually went out and did it. And that doesn't help. We teach a lot of people, but they actually don't take the next step and have action to it. So, you know, I would spend that money getting involved with successful people.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, I see that, and I see that in your story, definitely. And now all of our listeners in Tennessee are going to listen to this next part really carefully, because now I ask you, how can people reach you?
I'm a phone call away. You can call my personal cell number, and it's 615 area code 479-8737. You can call me. And we were just laughing about how much business gets done over text messaging these days. You can email me. It's just Dave, D-A-V-E, at R-I-A for Residential Investment Advisors, and then a hyphen symbol, I-N-C.com. So Dave-A-Inc.com. Those are the two best ways to get a hold of me.
Wow. Well, there's a guy that stands behind his own philosophy there. He's giving his personal cell phone. That's pretty intense. That's great. I'm with you. I believe that, you know, those of us starting out, whether we're starting off later in life or whether we're young, just out of school, finding that mentor and being able to link up with somebody that's been there and done that is worth more than, you know, any kind of course you can take or program out there. I don't care what it is. You know, having that mentor that can guide you and direct you is just invaluable. Wow, we appreciate that. That's really great. Now, you probably don't have your notes in front of you, but you know, we're called the Old Dogs REI Network, and every guest that's ever been on our show kind of closes us out with their best old hound dog howl. Now, I know you're a Southern boy here, so you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about hound dogs, right? So I'm going to ask you to close us out with your best old hound dog howl. Are you ready for that? You know, we even have once a year, we literally take all of our guests' howls and we put them up for people to vote on. And then we give out the Golden Howl Award. So who knows? You could actually be the proud recipient of the prestigious Golden Howl Award. So you just got to give it your best shot, Dave. And
I'm laughing so hard, I don't know if I'll be able to get any howl.
And anybody walking by looking at you right now is probably going to be wondering, what the heck is this guy doing?
Yeah, I'm seeing him walk around the car right now. So, all right, let me see if I can do. Ow! Is that good?
That was good, Dave. Good job.
Oh, I don't know if that's a howl, hound dog howl, but it's a howl.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Dave, for being with us. I really appreciate it. I think you got a lot to offer, and hopefully we can touch base again and maybe zero in on some of those areas we just touched on in this conversation. You know, just if you're up for it, we'd love to have you back.
Yeah, absolutely. And your listeners, please feel free to call me, whatever you want to talk about when it comes to, multifamily investing, call me. I love to talk this stuff. I was telling Bill before we started this, as you know, I eat, sleep, and breathe this, whether it's me personally or the brokerage firm or the management company. I really enjoy what I do. There's nothing else out there that I can say I'd rather be doing. And I love to help others get involved in it and be successful. And so please feel free to call me anytime and talk.
I love it. Well, I'm sure I'm going to be talking to you again. I want to talk about some of those markets that you mentioned. There are some of the same ones I'm investigating now. So, I'll definitely follow you up. I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there that are also looking in that area too, and the broader sense too, the south, southeast there. So, well, thanks, Dave. And I want to say to all of our old dog listeners, thanks to you guys too, just for taking the time to listen to us. We know that you have a lot of other things to do, but the fact that you've taken out the time to join us here means a lot, and we greatly appreciate it. So, old dog listeners, remember everything you mentioned, and I hope you weren't driving while you were trying to write down all the notes like his phone number and contact information, because it's all in our show notes. So all you have to do is just go to the olddogsreinetwork.com website and look for the blog section, and you'll see all the show notes there. We'll have a real detailed recap of everything that Dave talked about today. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king, real estate investing the means. And until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.